Headlines: Israeli forces have killed three more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. The U.S. Treasury Secretary is in China for talks aimed at easing tensions over trade. Plus, floods and landslides triggered by monsoon rains kill at least 50 people in Pakistan. Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Top story for this half hour. In the occupied West Bank, no sooner have Palestinians buried their loved ones than more are killed by Israeli forces. This was in full view on Friday when three Palestinians were killed in a matter of hours. A funeral ceremony in the northern city of Nablus, where two Palestinians were shot dead during a raid by Israeli forces. Three others were injured, while several were arrested. Later in the day, another Palestinian was killed during an attack by regime troops on a village northwest of Ramallah. Several Palestinians have also been injured in anti-Israeli protests across the West Bank, including Al-Khalil and Qalqilia. Earlier this week, Israeli forces conducted a large-scale operation in another West Bank city, Jenin. A dozen Palestinians were killed and scores were wounded. Israel has been escalating its crackdown in recent months, killing some 200 Palestinians so far this year. Mick Napier with the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign says the Palestinian people have no way but to intensify resistance against the Israeli regime, which is after the ethnic cleansing of them.
What's new is the public discourse. The killing has been the killing has been regular or irregular, repeated since 1948. This particular government's by no means the worst. It's simply the most shameless. In the past, Ben-Gurion and the so-called Labour Zionists have cloaked their ethnic cleansing, their mass murder, in smooth words for their Western allies in order to disguise what's going on. These guys today feel no need to disguise what they're doing. They're really blood mad, they're crazy, and they wish to accelerate the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. The Israeli army doesn't arrest Palestinians if they resist, it kills them. And if they have been members of the Palestinian resistance, then the Israelis would simply have killed them because they don't want to arrest anybody whom they think they have fought back against the occupation army. This is a system based upon Jewish supremacy over non-Jews from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. And we're seeing a spike in the killing. The Palestinians know that they are doomed if they do not resist. Not just the refugees pushed into Gaza, but now in the West Bank and even inside 48, they increasingly know that their future is to be driven out. Because Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and Netanyahu as well are sending signals to their political base that even those Palestinians who were trapped inside Israel in 48 have no future there, that they are tolerated until they can be removed. And of course, in the West Bank, we see helicopter gunships, we see missiles, drones and so on. We're beginning to see the Gazaization of the West Bank.
The Non-Aligned Movement has issued a statement at the end of its ministerial meeting in the Azeri capital, Baku. The movement has called for ramped-up efforts at international level to achieve an equitable solution to the issue of Palestine. NAM said the solution should put an end to the plight of Palestinians based on the United Nations resolution. The movement underlined the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination and statehood, with Al-Quds as its capital. It also denounced intensified attacks against Palestinians by Israeli forces and settlers, as well as the regime's recent raid in the West Bank city of Jenin. The Non-Aligned Movement also strongly condemned the recent desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden. It expressed regret that Swedish officials authorized the blasphemy. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is on a four-day visit to China to calm tensions in bilateral relations, especially over trade. Yellen says she's there to deepen communication and work toward a stable relationship. The Treasury Secretary says her country does not seek a decoupling of the two economies, she argues that would be destabilizing for the global economy. However, Yellen added the U.S. and its allies will fight back against what she called China's unfair economic practices, urging market reforms. Yellen has met with former Chinese economy czar Liu He. She's also set to meet with Premier Li Keqiang later in the day. Yellen's trip is part of a flurry of visits aimed at easing tensions between the two big economies. Last month, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Beijing. China has said the U.S. should take concrete actions to improve trade ties. Muslims in Afghanistan celebrate Eid al-Qadir on the 18th of Zulhijjah, which marks the day Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib as his successor. It's considered as one of the fundamental events for Shia Muslims celebrated annually around the world.
Muslims in Afghanistan celebrate Eid al-Qadir with different ceremonies every year. This place in Kabul is only one of the hundreds where people have gathered to celebrate this day and share the joy together.
Today is the day that Islam came to perfection, because on this day back then, Prophet Muhammad raised Imam Ali's hands and said, Ali is my successor.
Today, these people who are followers of Imam Ali have gathered here to celebrate the joyous occasion by praising the Prophet and Imam Ali.
This Eid marks the day that Prophet Muhammad appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib as his successor by raising his hand and saying to the huge crowd who were following him on his last Hajj pilgrimage, "Whomever I am his leader, Ali is his leader."
Ali alayhi salam.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is the source of justice, crier of justice, and symbol of justice, not only in Islamic community, but in human society. When you speak of justice, the name of Ali is there. We honor Imam Ali because we honor justice. Along with that, Ali was the most honest and a man of virtue.
Imam Ali is the first man who returned the call of Prophet Muhammad and embraced Islam. That is why his most famous nickname is Amir al-Mu'minin, that means the head of the believers.
The personality of Imam Ali has drawn much attention throughout history. Today might be an opportunity for everyone to know about the man who once said, "No wealth is like wisdom, and no indigence is like ignorance." Abdullah Mirzada, Kabul.
Well, today, Shia Muslims worldwide are celebrating Eid al-Qadir, which marks the day the Prophet Muhammad appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib as his successor. The Iranian capital, Tehran, the capital, that is, a street festival has been organized to commemorate the major event. Our correspondent, Farzana Ashuriun, is there and joins us now with more details. Farzana, over to you.
Tonight I'm in the Enghalab Street where this 10-kilometer ceremony is held because of Eid al-Qadir. A lot of people are gathered here with thousands of stands located here to serve the lovers of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam, to serve foods and drinks. And of course I know that around 1,300 stands are located here to serve the lovers of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam. And I know that in some stands, people will gather some toys and dolls for underprivileged children, which is a reminder of the kindness of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam, who was the father of the fatherless. A lot of Iranians, millions of Iranians, are celebrating this significant day, not only here in Tehran, but in different cities all across the country. And of course, it's a significant and important day for some Muslims in the region, including different countries, including Iraq. And this 10-kilometer ceremony here in Tehran reminds us of Amir al-Mu'mineen, a great man who is not only a role model for the Muslims, but only for all the people all across the world who are looking and seeking for a real role model to follow his path and his ideas. Back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Farzana Ashruddin, joining us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Moving on to Pakistan now, where heavy monsoon rains have killed dozens of people and damaged scores of houses. The rainfalls hit Pakistan on June the 25th, triggering floods and landslides. Officials say at least 50 people, including 8 children, have lost their lives as a result. Almost 90 others have also been injured. Search and rescue operations continue, as officials fear there may be people trapped under debris of destroyed houses. Electricity and water have been cut off in some areas last year. The seasonal rains put a third of Pakistan underwater, taking the lives of over 1,700 people. Scientists blame climate change for the disastrous rains that hit the country between June and September each year. Well, the French Parliament has recently approved a justice reform bill that has created controversy. The law allows police to spy on suspects by remotely activating the camera, microphone, and GPS of their phones. The government says the law would affect only dozens of cases a year. The left and rights defenders, however, are critical of the legislation, calling it an authoritarian snooper's charter.
It has been described as an unprecedented restriction on people in France. Lawmakers have agreed that the country's police forces need to be allowed to spy on suspects by remotely activating the camera, microphone, and GPS of their phones and other devices. The measure agreed by lawmakers covers laptops, cars, and other connected objects, as well as phones. It further allows devices to be remotely activated to record sound and images of people allegedly suspected of terror offenses, as well as delinquency and organized crime. Rights activists have slammed the measure as, quote, an authoritarian snooper's charter. A digital rights group has slammed the provision, saying it raises serious concerns, infringements of fundamental liberties. La Quadrature du Net has called for the proposal as part of a, quote, slide into heavy-handed security. In early June, the French Senate, the upper house, approved a controversial provision to a justice bill that allowed law enforcement to eavesdrop on suspected terrorists and criminals using their devices.
France has been rocked by violent protests of the fatal shooting of a teenager by a police officer. The shooting took place in a Paris suburb more than a week ago. Thousands, including foreigners, have been arrested. Authorities are now considering putting restrictions on social media as part of measures to quell what they refer to as riots.
Moreover, senators approved the provision in the bill allowing law enforcement to track devices' location if the owner is suspected of committing a crime. The measures come amid unprecedented protests across France over the killing of a 17-year-old boy of Algerian origin by police in late June. Nahal's killing renewed old grievances regarding police brutality and racial profiling. It is estimated that some 3,400 to 4,000 people were arrested, which included more than 1,200 minors. Most of those arrested in the recent unrest had no previous criminal record. Meanwhile, there are concerns about restrictions on social media in France. France's digital minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, has announced that from August 25th, Paris will introduce mandatory measures censoring the work of social networks in the country. According to the French minister, President Macron had urged him to, quote, put maximum pressure on social networks. Barrot has also proposed to the Senate the creation of a working group to address measures to be taken in the event of mass protests and riots. Earlier, Macron claimed that protesters were using Snapchat, TikTok, and Telegram to film violent events and to organize illegal gatherings.
Enfin,
social media platforms play a significant role in the events of the past few days. We have on several of them, Snapchat, TikTok, and several others, both the organization of violent gatherings and a form of mimicking violence, which among the youngest leads to a feeling of unreality. It sometimes feels like some of them are experiencing in the streets the video games that have intoxicated them. And this, the law, including over the past few months, has set out changes to parent control that we want to be fully respected.
Macron has also discussed the possibility of banning access to certain social media features. Macron has told about 300 local leaders that the country needs to reflect on social media use among the youngest and on the prohibitions that must be put in place. The comments drew the ire of many critics.
These incidents just keep on happening.
But this time it was captured on video, and that's why people are fuming. But Macron goes to his Elton John concert, and then he blames video games for the protests. Video games. Maybe his police officers play too many video games, and that's why they pulled out their guns on a 17-year-old without a driver's license. And one of them said, I'm going to put a bullet in your head. Macron now wants to ban sensitive content on social media because it's embarrassing for him. But dare Iran ban Twitter or Egypt cut off the internet, then Macron and the West will spring into their usual chorus of that's censorship and that's a dictatorship, no freedom of speech.
French government has been accused of conducting attacks on migrants, racial profiling, and religious intolerance. Police killing has tapped into the long festering resentment of police brutality among many French minorities and have rekindled a long, painful debate about racial profiling by police.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
زیارت قدیر. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Salam alaikum. Here is the fourth and last part of the memorable Ziyarat of Qadir, or standard form of salutation to the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, which we have been presenting you for the past 3 days. Please stay tuned. My Master, it was through you that the truth prevailed, while the people disregarded it, and you expounded the precepts of Islam after they had become obliterated and effaced. Thus you were a forerunner both in waging jihad for the affirmation of the revelation, and yours is the merit of waging jihad for the sake of realizing its meanings. Your enemies are the enemy of Allah, deniers of the Prophet of Allah, who summon to untruth, judge unjustly, usurp power, and invite their confederates to hellfire. And there was Ammar, who, as he fought, cried out between the ranks of the confronting armies, "Come on, let's set out for paradise." When he asked for water, he was given milk to drink, whereat he glorified God and said, "He, the Prophet of Allah, may Allah bless him and his family, had told me, your last drink in the world will be that of curdled milk, and you will be slain by the rebellious party." Thereupon, Abul Adiyah al-Fazari, encountered him and slew him, and may Allah's curse and that of his angels and all his prophets be upon Abu al-Adiya and on those who drew their swords against you and on those against whom you, O Commander of the Faithful, drew your sword from among the polytheists and the hypocrites until the day of retribution, as well as on those who view with approval what offended you and did not decry it, turning away their eyes without disapproving, or provided their support against you through deed or word, or denied you their help, or deserted their duty of waging jihad alongside you, or those who belittled your merits, contested your right, or regarded as your equals such persons over whom Allah had given you a greater right than they had over themselves. May Allah's blessings, His mercy, His bounties, and His greetings and salutations be upon you and the immaculate Imams of your descent. Indeed, He is the all-praiseworthy and all-glorious. But what is more amazing and more atrocious after the denial of your right is the wrongful dispossession of the orchard of Fadak from Zahra, the truthful and the pure one, the noblest of the world's women, and the rejection of your testimony and that of your illustrious sons and the progeny of the Mustafa, may Allah's blessings be upon you, while Allah the Most High had elevated your rank over the entire Ummah and exalted your station, and He had made manifest your excellence and honored you above all the world's denizens, keeping away all impurity from you and purifying you with utmost purification. Allah the Almighty and Glorious has said, "Indeed, man has been created covetous. He is anxious when an ill befalls him, and grudging when good comes his way. All are such except the prayerful." Thus Allah the Most High made His Prophet an exception to that, as well as you, O Chief of the Legatees, and excluded all other people. So how misguided were those who wronged you with respect to your right and then, for the sake of deception, assigned you the share of the kinsmen while denying it to its rightful claimants. So when temporal authority came into your hands, you let the situation remain as it was before in regard to your rights and those of the Prophet's family, disregarding them for the sake of your reward with Allah. So your ordeal with respect to these two things was like the ordeal of the prophets, may peace be upon them, in their loneliness and absence of helpers. Your conduct in sleeping on the prophet's bed was like that of Ishmael, peace upon him, when you assented and obeyed, as he did, patiently and seeking God's pleasure, when Abraham said to him, "My son, I see in a dream that I am sacrificing you. See what you think." He said, "Father, do whatever you have been commanded. If Allah wishes, you will find me to be patient." And so were you when the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, bade you to sleep in his bed, and in this manner you shielded him from harm by risking your own life. You were quick to comply, having obediently prepared yourself mentally to be killed, whereupon Allah, the Most High, appreciated your obedience and expressed the gracefulness of your action in His words, "May His name be glorified." And among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah. Yet again, your ordeal during the Battle of Siffin, when the scriptures were raised on spears as a deceptive stratagem, whereupon doubts arose in the minds and the truth was set aside and conjecture was followed, similar to the ordeal of Aaron when he was appointed by Moses to lead his people, whereupon they forsook him while he kept calling them, saying, O my people, you are only being tested by it. Indeed, your Lord is the All-Beneficent, so follow me and obey my command. They had said, We will keep on clinging to it until Moses returns to us. Such was your case when the scriptures were raised on spear points, and you were saying, O my people, you are being misled and deceived by this means. But they disobeyed you and demanded the appointment of arbiters, whereat you declined their demand and deploring their conduct before Allah, and let them alone. So when the truth was revealed and their wrong stand was discredited, and they admitted their mistake and oversight of the goal. But then they fell into disagreement and blamed on you the folly of arbitration, which you had opposed and they had desired and which you had warned them against, while they considered it legitimate, and held you responsible for the sin that they had committed, although you were on the path of insight and guidance and they were in error and blindness. Yet they persisted in their hypocrisy and perversity until Allah made them taste the evil consequences of their conduct. Those who opposed you became wretched and perished, and God slew them with your sword. He revived through your proofs those who were felicitous and they were rightly guided. May Allah's blessings be upon you at every beginning and end of your days and during all your movements and pauses. No eulogizer can encompass your merits and no detractor can obscure your excellences. You are the best of the creatures with regard to worship, the most dedicated in piety, and the most zealous in defending the faith. With your efforts you maintained the laws of Allah, and with your sword subdued the armies of the renegades. With your hands you extinguished the flames of war, and with your discourses removed the veils of doubt, separated the adulterating falsehoods from the pure truth without being deterred by the blame of any blamer in any matter pertaining to Allah. The commendations of Allah the Most High suffices you to do without the praise of any admirer and compliments of any praiser. And Allah the Most High has said, Among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah. Of them are some who have fulfilled their pledge, and of them are some who still wait and they have not changed in the least. Having seen that you had to fight the perfidious, the perverse, and the renegades, and that the prophecy of the Prophet of Allah, may Allah bless him and his household, had come true in what he had told you, and being content that you had fulfilled your pledge to him, you would say, Is it not the time yet for this beard of mine to be dyed in the blood of this head of mine? Or when will the most wretched man from among these people rise up? You were convinced that you possessed a manifest proof from your Lord and full insight of your own affair, and that you will meet Allah rejoicing in the bargain you had made with him, and that is the great success. O Allah, let your anathema, accompanied with all your curses, be on those who slew your prophets and the legatees of your prophets, and make them enter the flames of your fire. Let your curse be on those who usurp the rights of your wali, refuse to acknowledge his covenant, and opposed him after acknowledging and being certain of his authority on the day when you perfected the religion for them. O Allah, let your curse be on those who killed the commander of the faithful and those who wronged him and their followers and supporters. O Allah, bring down your terrible curse on those who wronged Hussein and those who slew him, as well as those who followed and helped his enemies, those who approved of his murder, and those who forsook him. O Allah, let your curse be on the one first to wrong the family of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, those who denied them their rights. O Allah, single out for your curse until the day of resurrection the first one who wronged the family of Muhammad and usurped their rights as well as those who followed his policies. O Allah, bless Muhammad, seal of the prophets, and Ali, chief of the legatees, and his immaculate progeny, and appoint me to be amongst their adherents, among those who obtain victory and security through their wilaya, and who will have no fear, nor will they ever grieve. Dear listeners, what you heard was the fourth and last part of our special program of the past 4 days and a special ziyarah of the blessed day of Qadir for the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our congratulatory messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujjah, Jalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, and to all of you as we gather on this beautiful evening to celebrate the greatest day in our entire calendar year, the celebration, the Eid of Ghadir. I do want to spend some time doing dhikr of this particular event. The Prophet begins to deliver a sermon. The Prophet was speaking, and then the Prophet says in a very beautiful way, أَلَسْتُ أَوْلَى بِكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Statement. Do I not have more authority over you than you do over yourselves? This is the command of Rasulullah, yeah? You know, when we want our Imam back, and inshallah Allah hastens his return, this is that level of authority the Imam will have over us, huh? That he will ask us, do I not have more authority over you? And we better be ready to say bala, but not like how some of these guys said bala. Yeah? But believe in that yes, O Imam, you do have more authority over us. Yeah? You tell me to do something, I don't have a right to question it. And so he asks the people, do I not have more authority over you than you do over yourselves? And the jawab was bala. Bala means of course. Yeah? When it's a question that is obvious, you don't say naam. You say, bala. Yeah, he said, yes, of course you have more authority over us. This is when the fourth statement that we must be familiar with. When the Prophet raises his hands of Ali, and he says, after I have already said that I have more authority over you than you do over yourselves, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَى. And this is what the Prophet says. This is a statement that we should all know. فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَى. That whoever's Mawla I am, then Ali is also their Mawla. Yeah? And then we come with the fifth that we have to know. And this is the statement or the verse of completion. It comes in ayah, surah number 5, ayah number? Ahsantum, ayah number 3. Now it's a long verse. I don't want you to memorize the whole verse if you can, mashallah. But in the beginning of the verse, Allah talks about food. Yeah, it's interesting. And then right in the middle, Allah places this. Right? And then He ends it by talking about food again. And this is why many people think that completion is because of food. You know, it wasn't because of food. As though, as much as food is a completion for many of us, yeah, it wasn't over that. You know, I think Ali is this diamond, yeah, that you have to search for this diamond. Yeah, you have to look for this diamond. You have to find this diamond. And this is what Allah does. Yeah, if Allah wanted, He says clearly, I could have made everyone believe. Then where is the value of that belief? Yeah, this is the same applies for us. That yes, we have grown up in a house of Shia. Yeah? But we have to re-find Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah? We have to re-find this wilaya. And so the verse is, and it's the verse that you all should know, we should know, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama dina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have completed this, I have perfected, kamal, akmaltu lakum deen. I have perfected this religion for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have completed my favors upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islama deena, and I am pleased to call this religion of Islam for you. These are five statements, five verses and hadith together. That I urge you, inshallah, as the Shia of Ali, be familiar with it. And this defines for us, or tells for us, the story of what happened that day in a very quick version. Yeah, because the sermon of the Prophet alone was over 3 hours on that day. We just give the cliff notes of the version. Yeah, we just give the statements because we know our attention span is sometimes small. Yeah, but the Prophet made it very clear. And this is what I want to talk about to you. That the event of Ghadir is significant in many levels. Yeah, the event of Ghadir is significant for us in many ways. You know, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly emphasizes and makes it known that this religion has been completed and perfected. That He says, yeah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum, I have completed my favors upon you. I have perfected this religion for you. And so there is a responsibility that is associated with that. And you know, the primary responsibility that you and I have is to display extreme gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extreme gratitude. My brothers and sisters, you know, like I can't imagine a life without Ali, can you? No. Can you imagine a life without Karbala? No. These are gifts God has given us. Gifts, yeah? Be grateful for them. Yeah, be grateful for them, right? Isn't we all know this famous hadith, and I'm paraphrasing, where a man comes to our sixth Imam, As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And he complained to the Imam, because we all have mushkil, we all have problems. And he said, look, I'm going through poverty, I'm going through this problem, that problem. And the Imam listened to him. And the Imam says, you know, you're richer than you think. And he says, but I'm not. Yeah, like, seriously, I'm not. And the Imam alayhi salam says, what if I gave you X amount of dollars to leave our wilaya? Would you leave it? And he says, I wouldn't. He says, if a man would abandon this amount of money, how can that person ever claim to be poor? Yeah? We are rich with wilaya. Yeah? We have this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this blessing requires gratefulness. Yeah. So please, whenever you have this opportunity, go to sajda, say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this wilaya. That's the first responsibility. The second is, the event of Ghadir shows us and tells us the importance of imamat and wilayat in Islam. Yeah. That the religion of Islam was tied with a bow through the proclamation of the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah? This is how important it is. Yeah? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And therefore, it's important for us to constantly renew our allegiance to the Imam of our time, because life without him is unsuccessful. It's unsuccessful. It doesn't matter how materially successful you and I become. But without the Imam's role in that life lacks value, because it needs the Imam in that. Yeah? The belief in the Imam, the need of the Imam, the want of the Imam, the requirement of the Imam. This is what Ghadir teaches us, the importance of the position of Imamat and Wilayat. And so we need to renew our allegiance at all times. Number three, you know, the event of Ghadir shows us the path of success. Huh? You know, winners have been declared. Yeah, losers have been declared. Right? Now, declared meaning what? Like, it's been shown to us. Yeah. When the Prophet raised the hand of Ali, and after he's proclaimed him to be his Mawla, he said something, right? He says, Allahumma wali man wala, wa adi man ada. Oh Allah, be loyal to those who are loyal to Ali. Yeah? And be enemies to those who are enemies of Ali. Yani, there are two sides, yeah? Two sides. Yeah? And so the partition has been shown to us, right? The areas have been shown to us. It's up to us to decide and ensure that that which we feel in our hearts is manifested in action. Yeah? And that is how we get on the side of Ali. We don't get on the side of Ali by merely proclaiming that we are Ali, that we are like Haydar. We have to live the life of Haydar. Yeah? We have to be like Ali. And so this is the third responsibility that we have. But you know, this event, it's kind of cool, right? Like, this event also teaches us, you know, and I think this comes from the perspective of reflection. When you reflect on this event alone, there's no doubt that one of the outcomes that we get from it is in regards to the amazing personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah, the amazing personality of Ali. Because what does this event do, right? What does Ghadir do? Ghadir talks about the perfection of Islam. Ghadir talks about the completion of favors upon Muslims. Ghadir talks about the importance of wilaya. Ghadir shows us the path of success. All of these things are only possible when the person given the responsibility to carry them out has the ability to carry them out. Yeah? That Allah would not give that responsibility to just anyone because of the importance of that responsibility. Through that we understand the maqam of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala wa Ali Muhammad. This is who Ali was. Ali was Ali. Ali was Ali. Man, there was not someone like him besides Rasulullah. There's no one like him besides Rasulullah. Yeah? Ali was Ali. Ali's faith was such that what does the Prophet say about him in Khandaq? Barazal iman kullu. Subhanallah. Yeah? That the one who has complete faith has come out today. The Prophet says that about Ali. Yeah, this is who Ali was. Ali had that level of kindness that when he would see orphans and widows, his heart would break. Yeah? Ali had that level of bravery where he volunteered to sleep. We know the merits of Ali. Yeah? But that is who Ali was. And the event of Ghadir teaches us the maqam of Ali from the perspective of God. That I consider Ali worthy to hold this position.
قد أتى وحي المحبة والسلام يشدو بلحن الحب في روض الغرام بشرى لكل خلق في يوم غدير من كنت مولاه فمولاه أمير
يا مولاي علي يا مولاي
Think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Several days of protests in France, and there is no clear indication of the end of the protests. And many believe that this incident is even more serious than the 2005 riots. Some believe the French protests are a form of political dissent expressed by a generation of teenagers whose lives are deemed inferior, cheap, and meaningless by the French state. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Tehran Times wrote in this regard, another death behind the wheel due to French police shooting. This is not a new story for the French. This time, the lottery of death was named a 17-year-old boy. The Niles death by direct police shooting has sparked violent protests and riots throughout the country. After several days, there is no clear indication of the end of the protests, and many believe that this incident is even more serious than the 2005 riots. In that year, after two teenagers were electrocuted while hiding from police, France was convulsed in turmoil for 3 weeks. One important difference is that, unlike 18 years ago, only the suburbs of major cities were involved in protest, while this time, major cities are also burning with the anger of protesters. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, who had recently been freed from widespread protests against the new retirement law, sees himself in a difficult situation. The appearance of the situation shows that he is currently trying to take a middle ground. He is not fully cooperating with angry people, nor does he appear to be suppressing them entirely. Macron's critics say the current situation is the result of his government's policies on immigrants. They accuse Macron of being lenient on immigration laws and say that France is on the brink of a civil war, and the situation is similar to a jungle rule in the country. Some French media believe that the teenager's murder is a product of a law passed in 2017. This law, which was passed after the deadly attacks in 2015 in France, gives the police more power to control drivers, inspect them, and use firearms. Statistics show that after the passage of this law, police shootings of drivers have significantly increased. However, it seems that the root of the events in France these days should be examined somewhat deeper. The fire and anger burning in France is the product of a combination of several dark realities with high explosive potential. Lower-class teenagers and youths, mostly immigrants and people of color, feel that this incident could easily happen to them. They deeply and increasingly identify with the 17-year-old victim of this tragedy. The next point is a general emotional feeling that has been institutionalized and accumulated in this lower class. Despite all the protests,
Their voice does not seem to be heard, and apparently nothing is going to change. They have clear signs of this feeling of frustration. When they were in shock and grief over the unwarranted killing by the police, Macron and his wife were shaking their feet to the rhythm of music at Elton John concert. Another issue is systematic racism and high degree of police violence in France, to the extent that the police in the country have become famous, at least among the police forces of European countries. Africans and Muslims are the main targets of this aggressive and racist behavior. Another point that has a fundamental role in France's colonial history, especially in Africa, the wounds of French colonization have not yet been healed. The victim of the unwarranted shooting was of Algerian descent. 1.5 million Algerians were killed during France's colonization of Algeria that lasted for more than 130. And until a few years ago, the skulls of Algerian resistance leaders were kept in the Paris Museum of Anthropology. Although the teenagers in the suburbs of Paris are fourth-generation immigrants of African descent, the heavy shadow of French colonial crimes still weighs heavily on their identity. Attaching the metro line to these poor suburbs does not heal this old wound. The fire and anger of 2005 ended after 3 weeks with a state of emergency, travel ban, and imprisonment of those who ignored it. Perhaps the French government can once again use the same tactic to control the fire caused by the unwarranted killing, but this fire will not be extinguished, and it waits for another spark.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی است.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on December 17, 2008 by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran on the occasion of Eid al-Ghadir. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. First of all, I would like to congratulate Eid al-Ghadir on you, dear people, all the faithful people of our country and the entire world of Islam. Eid al-Ghadir is considered to be a major part of the Shia's historical identity. Shia men and women have for consecutive years and centuries preserved their identity through the remembrance of this event. I would also like to welcome you, dear brothers and sisters, especially those who have come from faraway cities and the esteemed families of our martyrs. Reflecting on Ghadir event is one of the issues that can be of great help to our Islamic society, our people, and our country today. That is because reflecting on Ghadir will help them stay on the right path. There are two or three points that I would like to mention in regard to Ghadir.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The event itself is one of the points that I would like to discuss. The world of Islam, which had grown relatively vast, was witness to a very important event toward the end of Holy Prophet's life. The commander of the faithful was declared to be the successor of the Holy Prophet of Islam. Ghadir is not simply an event narrated by Shias alone. Many Sunni luminaries and hadith scholars or muhaddisin have also talked about this event. How the event should be interpreted is debated among Muslims. However, all Muslims are confident about the truth of these events. The fact that Prophet Muhammad assigned Imam Ali as his successor at the end of his life, about 7 days before his demise, bears testimony to the importance of government, politics, and religious leadership or wilaya from an Islamic viewpoint. The emphasis that our magnanimous Imam, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, and many other prominent religious scholars have placed on the unity between religion and politics is in fact rooted in Islamic teachings, especially the great lesson that Ghadir taught us. This shows the importance of the issue. All the people who interpret Ghadir in this way, that is, all the Shias and even many non-Shia Muslims who have a similar interpretation, must constantly pay attention to the fact that the issue of government is a critical issue and that it is a high priority in Islam.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.